Hey there, penny droppers. Unfortunately, I am yet to find AI that can aptly remove a cold from the sound in my voice. So excuse me that I'm a bit stuffy today. Today, I want to talk about something that I have rebranded as the glow up, because during the early days of my career, I set up a daily ritual without knowing. And in hindsight, I think it fast-tracked my skills and confidence behind the mic. And look, not every job has the external components required to be able to perform this ritual in the same way that I did. But I suspect that every person has an internal component that would tell them not to do this thing, even if they could. However, if you are guesting on podcasts, panels, or in the media, you will have the necessary external components. And I hope by the end of this episode, we will have recalibrated your internal ones too. So, when I started as a young and very enthusiastic breakfast radio presenter, I'd finish on air at 7:45 a.m. And as soon as I was off air, I'd go for a quick walk, I'd grab some breakfast, then I'd sit down at my computer and start listening back to the program that just went to air, all 2 and a bit hours of it. Now, did that take up a lot of my time? Yes. Did others see value in it? Not always. Did it make me better at my job? You bet. Now, if I'm honest, I think I started listening back to figure out if I should be embarrassed, because thousands of people in my community had just listened to me do my job, which is pretty weird. And I wanted to know if I could hold my head up when I walked outside. And I also, I think, wanted to be ready for any criticism that might come my way. Plus, I guess I was hopeful that I'd find at least one thing in the program that I could be proud of. And so while I started this ritual looking for some validation, I kept it up because of the perspective it provided. Because very quickly I learned that I couldn't assess how I was doing on air while I was doing it. There was this big gap in how I thought things went compared to how they actually went. So things that I thought I'd really mucked up weren't as bad when I listened back. And the parts that I thought I had nailed often didn't come across as well as I'd imagined. And the only way for me to get space from all of the logical, emotional, and practical thoughts that were going through my brain at any one time while I was on air was to listen how an audience member would. And it soon became clear that my mind was far too busy making decisions about what song I would play, what question I would ask next, which text message I would read out, and making sure that I didn't crash the news, that there was no way that I could hear the show in the same way that my listeners were hearing the show, because my experience skewed my perception. In listening back, so much became obvious to me. I realized that I spoke too fast during guest introductions. I could hear myself skip over words whenever I was reading a script. I could clearly differentiate between my fake laugh and my real laugh. It's just so cringy. But I also noticed things like how the tone of my voice changed when a guest shared something that I wasn't expecting. I could hear the conviction in my voice when I'd done my research, and I felt the trust my guests gave me in the first few moments of every interview. So listening back allowed me to pick up so many things I was doing that I didn't pick up as I was doing them. And I think this daily habit of listening back, as awkward and cringy as it was, helped me understand myself better. Plus, when I listened as a listener, I think I was nicer to myself. And I think this was because I had some context about what was going on in the radio studio and in my head at the time. And that helped me understand why I did what I did or why I said what I said. And I could then use that to learn. And so I knew anecdotally that this ritual of listening back was really, really helpful. And it wasn't until many years later when I was in a group mentoring session with a friend and mentor, Cole Fink, and he asked us to write a story about our last 3 months, but in the third person, using a made-up name. And in setting up the exercise, I remember Cole outlining the theories around something known as self-distancing. So explaining that by looking at our experiences from a third-person perspective, we can create some distance between the thing we did and the person we are, which can lead to better insight, making the reflection process more productive and less emotionally taxing. And it was at that moment I began to understand why listening back had been so useful, because as I listened to myself back on the radio, I was able to listen as if I was listening to someone else. Now, while the science is in, the motivation is often not. Very rarely does a client get excited about the thought of listening or watching back one of their guest interviews. Instead, they give me a very specific look. Chances are you're doing it now. It's a grimace combined with the "you've got to be kidding" face. You are definitely doing it now. And because of this face and because of that internal component that I talked about before that is telling us to get out of doing this listening back at all costs, I've now started calling this ritual a glow up, because I have learned from the cool young kids, mostly on my Instagram feed, that a glow up is something people look forward to. It's something that's fun, even. And it means to transform into a more confident, capable, and successful version of yourself. And I reckon by following a very simple framework that is known in the industry as an air check, which I have now rebranded as a glow up, you'll do the same. There are three things to do. So the first thing, when you listen back, listen out for what worked well. Listen for those things you loved. And it doesn't matter how many times I ask a client to start with the positives, they will always start with the negatives. We need to make a conscious effort to work out what we should be doing more of, because this awareness helps us to build confidence and great habits. So listen out for what worked well. Only then listen out for what could have been better. So listen for those things that didn't work. But rather than getting frustrated, get curious. Start asking questions of yourself so you can better understand what was happening for you in those moments. What did we misjudge? What influenced us? What was our intention? Listen to learn rather than to criticize. So what could have been better? And finally, what will I do differently next time? This is about working out a plan for improvement. So we can come up with three or four things that we might do differently if we find ourselves in a similar situation. And I think it can be really useful to take a habit building approach to this. So when we're making this list, work out what the trigger is. So was it a particular question, an internal concern, a distraction that made us deliver in a way we didn't love? What was the trigger? Then get clear on the improved action we can take. So when we recognize that trigger, what are we going to do differently? And then finally, consider the reward that we're going to get by doing things differently. Will we get great clips to post on socials? Will we get better connection with the host? Will we have less worry and concern? So what will I do differently next time? But take a habit building approach with the trigger, the improved action, and the reward. So those three things, what worked well, what could have been better, what will I do differently next time, that is how you give your guest appearances a glow up. Now I am going to re-listen to this whole episode and work out which parts worked well, which parts could have been better, and then decide what I'll do differently next time. More seriously though, that is what I'll be doing, because this week's episode is the last of this season where I've been looking at how to be a better guest, what to do before, during, and after podcast, media, and panel interviews. It's also been a newsletter, so I've shared 10 articles, 20 tips, got thousands of reads, and I am now going to turn it into a book. I'm saying that out loud for a bit of accountability. That means I'm settling into edit pretty hard. I'll expand those bits that I rush through and extract those parts that aren't required. However, there is a second part to this book, which you will get to hear here on the Penny Drop first. So I'm going to embark on another season, which will be full of more tips, all about helping you to be a better host. So we're moving from the guest side of the mic to the host side of the mic. So I host a podcast of panels and of people. And similarly, we're going to look at those things you can do before, during and after interviews or meetings or events to help you get the best from your guests. I'm not going to go as far as offering dinner party tips, but I have no doubt the content will cross over, but that is not my expertise. So over the next couple of weeks, you can expect to hear that right here on the Penny Drop. That is all from me for the moment. I will talk to you next time.